Father, we ask that as we spend this time together, you would indeed come and refresh each one of us. And I do say thank you for our brother's prayer and ask that you would refresh me, that I may have fresh food to share with my brothers and sisters this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to do two things. The first one is not going to take too long, but I want us to do is a little bit of an exercise together. The folks here at on this side here are serving us so well. Food's fantastic, isn't it? And everybody's courteous. There's a mixture of staff. There are the directors of the trust, of course. There are those who manage the site here. There are the volunteers who come from different nations, and there are those on a two-year training course. So what we're going to do is pray for them. So would you like to stand with me for a minute? Now, I don't know whether you're... my guess would be that some of you are used to this and some of you are not used to this. So what we're going to do is, instead of having a few minutes prayer where perhaps one or two might intersperse with a few words, we're just going to take a couple of moments, but we're all going to pray at the same time, which is the way that you find prayer in the New Testament. They all lifted up their voice with one accord. That doesn't mean Peter stood up and said something and everybody said amen at the end. It means they all had the same heart and they were all crying out to the Lord at the same time. And that's what we're going to do. So a form of New Testament prayer. So what we're going to do, we're going to do this aloud. We're not going to all stand here in silence, okay? So what we're going to do, we're just all, so it'll be a nice, it'll sound like a beautiful choir, won't it? So we're all just going to lift our voices up and ask God to bless the people who run this site and manage it, volunteer and so on, that God will come and bless them because they have blessed us, okay? Let's do this then. Father, we lift these up to you. You're so good, Father. Would you please come and bless? For you are good. You are good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to speak blessings over them. So it's these two things. We intercede, we pray for people, and we speak blessings over them. So I'm going to lead the way, and you'll see what we do. So in the name of Jesus, we speak over all the people who work here, and we say we bless you in the name of the Lord. So together, we bless you in the name of the Lord. Some of them are married, and so we bless their marriages in the name of the Lord. We speak to every marriage, and we say, we bless you in the name of the Lord, that your marriages may be strong, gentle, forgiving, committed and faithful. Some of them are volunteers. And those who are volunteers, we bless them in the name of the Lord. We speak to them and we say, we bless you in the name of the Lord, that they may have enough to live, let alone enough to give, that their streams of supply may be there and may be established for them, that they may live in stability and not in fear of want, that supply may be there for them. We speak to the health of all who live here, and we say to them, we bless you in the name of the Lord, that you may be strong and healthy and vibrant and full of the zest of life. They have given wonderful service, and they give wonderful service. We say to them together, we bless you in the name of the Lord, that your hands may be as the hands of Jesus, your feet may be as the feet of Jesus, that you may carry loving service in the name of Jesus, and that in his name, as you have blessed us, you may bless many others, but also that you yourselves may be blessed of God. It's always, relationships are always an area of difficulty, but whereas Christian relationships, I'm afraid it tends to be even harder, particularly in a place of ministry. So we speak to their relationships, and we say together, we bless you in the name of the Lord, that your relationships, your friendships may be clean and pure and gentle, full of forgiveness, compassionate, full of loving kindness, that you may be free to love one another and to disagree without falling out, and to move on in love. And we speak to them and we say again, we bless you in the name of the Lord, that for some of them while they're here, they may find a sense of vocation arising, that some may find themselves going back to their own nations on fire for Jesus, carrying the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and loving service, hands outstretched in the name of Jesus. And we bless the whole work here. So over the whole work we say, we bless you in the name of the Lord, that this place may prosper as it's here to serve, that it may be strengthened, and that all the fundamental supplies that are necessary for this place to function well and to show off Jesus may flow well. Again, over every person we say, we bless you in the name of the Lord, that hearts may be softened, eyes opened, ears quick to hear and sense the presence of Jesus, the voice and the call of the Father, that they may be quick to say yes. Amen. Please be seated. Now, this is how we speak blessings over areas, and you can do it. You don't have to go away for 3 years and study and learn other languages. You can just go and do it. And I noticed that in error, we do not have any at the back, but we do have some sheets with just a framework, if people want some sort of framework to help them get started in this. And if you want to give us a call, drop us an email, somebody will be happy to pop a copy in the post for you. Okay. But why not pray and say, Lord, could I begin to speak blessings over my local area like this? Okay. We're going to come back to blessing a little later, but I want to do something else to begin with. Father, as we look at your word and consider your goodness, would you please help us to become vulnerable and to allow your word to penetrate into our hearts? In Jesus' name, amen. You don't need to look these words up because you know them well. It's Isaiah 43. Now, these words here, for the Lord is a God of justice. Who believes that to be true? Yeah, we all believe this to be true. Yeah. So how does that work out then? But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel. And then you remember the words, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That's great, isn't it? No need to fear. We're redeemed. We're his. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And we have the song, don't we? Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. And the chorus picks up those words. Oh, it's so nice and so sugary and so sweet, isn't it? And we're so focused on the sort of loveliness and gentleness. Oh, how nice. That we miss what it actually says. Because it doesn't say, if you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. It says, when? When? And when you go through the rivers. When you walk through the fire. Oh. That doesn't sound quite so good. And the truth is that the longer we seek to walk with Jesus and live for him, the harder life can seem to get. And the reason that it seems to get harder is simply because we are tasting, as time passes, more of life, and life is tough. And God is uncompromising. He tells us it is going to be tough. He does not say he's going to deliver us out of it. He says we are going to go through it. And my goodness, there are times when we go through it. His promise is not to save us from that, but to limit the damage. Which doesn't sound wonderful news to me. I would much prefer that it said, I will whisk you out of it. Behold, you are my beautiful people, and I will keep you unsullied from the world. I will not let normal life touch you. No, when you go through the waters, when you go through the rivers and think you're going to be swept away, when you go through the fire. So you'll go through it, he says. But I will not let it finally vanquish you. Okay, in other words, you might come that close to the end. But no further. Well, I would rather it said, you might come within 1,000 miles of the end, but no. Just at that last moment. He's going to limit the damage, the final penalty. That's what it's like. I was doing something with some young people. And when I say young people, they were in their 20s. And which now seems very young indeed to me. And we brought out some songs from Songs of Fellowship. And one of them burst out, my goodness, that's a blast from the past. No. And I remember my wife and I being vilified loudly in church for suggesting it might be okay for somebody to sing a song in a church service with a guitar. And I can remember the condemnation we suffered, and I expect some of you can. As perhaps you supported the coming in of change years ago. And the battle, choir, organ. What's the difference between an organist and a terrorist? I'm sure you know. You can negotiate with a terrorist. Or newer instruments. And horror. Horror of horrors, songs that were not written by Charles Wesley or Isaac Watts. And we suffered, and we knew what it was like to walk down the street and have people walk, cross over to avoid us. You know? Thousands of God's people went through that, for that time of change. And then the sort of painful period of beginning to let that develop and grow, and all the struggles in churches. Well, we've had an organ here from the beginning, and if it was good enough for St. Paul, it should be good enough for us, you know, all that kind of thing. And we went through that, and it was really, really tough. And now we have a generation of young people who find that the songs that we fought for and the style that we fought for and held on for, they find it so old-fashioned because time goes on. And that's what life is like. If you were a church minister and you are our sort of age or something like that, then you have probably found yourself trying to cope with a calling into ministry, trying to exercise your ministry, wanting to see Jesus glorified, people coming into new life, at a time when the truth is that church attendance has been in decline, average age is getting older of congregations, and the world around you has changed so much and so quickly, and the nature of society in our nations changing so radically, so deeply. The truth is, a very tough and painful time to seek to be faithful and to exercise faithful ministry. Because the world today is probably not the world that it was when you were called into ministry. And I would expect that you had dreams and hopes given by God. Dreams rising up in your heart from time with the Lord. Of how ministry would be like, of what church would look like, of the impact on the nation, perhaps of Methodism revived. The truth is, it's been very, very difficult. It's been a difficult and a painful time to exercise Christian ministry. And so for many of us, involved in leadership, or not perhaps in particular leadership, but nonetheless committed to following Jesus and serving him and working with and under leadership. Perhaps hopes and dreams unfulfilled. And for some of you, it at times, as you look at Methodism, but as you look at ministry and perhaps getting older, and the radical change taking place around us, the collapse of what we might see and describe as a sort of Judeo-Christian moral basis of our society, crumbling so fast around us, that the likelihood is that most of our hopes and dreams are being dashed. That's the truth for many of us, isn't it? Now, in the midst of this, God is God, and he does wonderful things. And I've loved being able to talk to some of you. Obviously, I've not been able to speak to all of you, but to some of you, you know, in the breaks at lunch, mealtimes and so on, and hearing lovely things that God is doing, and I rejoice with all of you. God is still God. God is still merciful. He's still faithful. But we almost hold on to the crumbs to keep us going, because it's tough. Do you think that's a reasonable description of what life is like? I think so. But God is God of justice. Well, have a look at Psalm 66. Verse 8. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Great stirring stuff. who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. Yeah, let's praise him. Yeah, he sustained us, he's kept us through everything. For you, O God, have tested us. Oh. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. Yes, Psalm 66, verse 12. We went through fire and through water. And the truth is that for many of us, that's where we are. That's how we feel. We've trusted him, we've held on to him. But if we described what is hidden away in our inner hearts, it may be a bit like this. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. This is what it's been like if you've been involved in leadership and seeking to live stable, committed, faithful Christian lives in a time of incredible societal change. Yet there is hope. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. But as David, as the psalmist, describes this experience, it isn't an avoidance of the truth. He's bearing his soul. It's been tough. It seems as though almost God has done nothing to help. Somehow we've had to struggle through it all. And yet that truth is he has preserved us. We are still here. We've gone through the battles. We've gone through the agonies. How do you serve and minister Jesus to a crowd of people who do not want to see things the way that you see it? Who do not share your values? Who do not sense a direction that is remotely like your direction? How do you love them? Keep going. How do you keep going against the snipes, the things that are said behind your back, the cliques that form, and yet you want to keep going and minister? And what you want to do is not just preserve it, but you want to see Jesus break in, you want to see the kingdom come. How do you keep going day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year? And yet there is a safety net. Only so far he preserves us. But at the end, there is the promise that he does bring us to a place of abundance. Not that he lets us go through the fire and the water, our lives are preserved, so we just manage to struggle through until we die. But there is the promise of a place of abundance. So let's go down to verse 16. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried out to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. What's he saying? I thought it was all over. I thought there was no future. I thought this was it. I thought this was my lot. I cried out to God. I cried out to God. It seemed as though there's no response, no reply. I didn't feel loved. Actually, I felt left, lost, abandoned. Somehow I wanted to hold on and keep going. And yet suddenly he broke through. And I realized he has been hearing my cry. He has not removed his love from me. His loving kindness is forever. It has not ceased. Even though I haven't felt it, he has been faithfully committed to me. And there is an amazing place of abundance. Come and hear, all you who thought my game was over. He has kept me Look where I am. Every cry he heard. And he was responding even though I had no idea that he had even heard my cry, because I thought it only got that far. But every cry that I uttered echoed round heaven, God waiting to respond. So then, let's turn to these beautiful words in Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore, the Lord earnestly waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him, who expect and long for him. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? So let's actually look at the context. In Isaiah 30. Verse 15 we're going to go from. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you should be saved, in quietness and in trust would be your strength, but you were unwilling. And you said, no, we will flee upon horses, therefore you shall flee away, and we will ride upon swift steeds, therefore your pursuers shall be swift. That doesn't sound so good, does it? 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of 5, you shall flee till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill. What is the signal saying? I'm alone, there's only me, enemy, come and get me. That's the context in which these words are written. That we feel alone, abandoned, exposed, and at the mercy of the enemy, there's just about nothing left. And it's in that context, therefore, that he says, therefore, at that moment when it's all about to be over, when the enemy is about to sweep you away, where everything is taken, therefore the Lord earnestly waits to be gracious to you. And therefore he lifts himself up. He's not going to stand idly by while the enemy comes and finishes you off. Therefore he lifts himself up, that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him, who expect and long for him. So these wonderful words are actually penned for a time of crisis, when it almost seems to be all over. We have gone through the fire, we've gone through the waters, we've sought to cross the rivers. Somehow we've made it. Men have ridden over our heads. Somehow he's preserved our feet. Do you remember the hymn the early Methodists sang at conference? When they gathered, many of them travelling on foot, and are we yet alive? Each other's face to see? He has preserved us. We're going to live another day. But the promise is not that you will also always therefore go through river after river, fire after fire. But the Lord hears your cry. The Lord responds. The Lord has not abandoned you. He does care. At that moment when you think it's all over, that is the moment when the Lord raises himself up. I'm coming to be with you. And now standing on the hill, instead of a flagstaff, you standing there alone, is a cross. The victory of the Lord. the mighty power of God which he exerted when he raised Jesus to life, present with you, working in you. The Lord is a mighty warrior. He stirs up his zeal. He picks up his sword. With mighty cry, he comes to fight. Not alone. Not abandoned. The purposes of God never lost, never turned over. Overturned. He is with us. He is with you. And every bit of every pain in your heart is known by him and felt by him. Every wound is laid on the back of Jesus. There is healing for every wound. Every rejection laid on Jesus, rejected by men, that the pain and the sting and the curse of rejection that comes against us might be lifted off, that we may be healed. Every cry that we have uttered, aloud or screamed inside, heard by him, known, accepted, every pain felt, not just known by him, but felt by him. Because we were not alone, even when we were convinced we were. Even when we were in the darkest place, he was there. The light of life, sharing our pain, sharing our dishonor. He was there. Not simply to say, ah, I felt it too, but to say, I have suffered this, that I may lift it off you and heal you and set you free. That he can then open our eyes to see the promise of the place of abundance that he has for us. Now, Luke 15. Okay? Sadly called the parable of the prodigal son by most people who add a line to describe what a section is about. Jesus didn't actually say, let me tell you the story of a prodigal son. He said, let me tell you a story, and there are many strands in it, one of which is the prodigal son. But I want to talk for a moment about the older brother. Now, you know the story, and I'm not going to read through the story. We all know it very well. But here's the point. Do you remember that the younger son has come back? There's the sound of a party. What's the older brother doing? Well, the older brother is doing what he's had to do for quite some time. He's doing his work and trying to shoulder the work of his younger brother, who has gone off and left him to it. The acreage has not diminished, the workload has not diminished, but there's only one son now. And it's pretty hard going. And he's certainly got servants to help, but everybody knows that the owner works harder and is far more committed than any servant. He is responsible, but now he's responsible for so much more. Why the party? Your younger brother has come back. My younger brother has come back. And there's a party? Not a lynching? Look what my life has been like. I'm left to work this place, to carry responsibility, to struggle so much. I still haven't actually inherited it. It's my father's. So I'm sort of like a labourer, and yet I'm supposed to carry all the responsibility of a son. I've been giving the years of my life trying to cover up for my brother's absence. He hasn't been here to play his part and help. And there's a party. Yeah, come and join in. Join in? You must be joking. Do you realise how tough it's been? Those of us in leadership may well say, if only you knew how tough it's been and how tough it is. Party is not the first word that comes to mind. And the father remonstrates. Come on. Got to have a party. My son was lost. He's returned. Well, that's great, Dad, isn't it? All this time I've worked for you. I've slaved for you. I've got up with the sunrise. I've gone to bed exhausted with the sunset. I never seem to get much thank. It's just work, 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 day after day, day after day. You've taken the livestock, slaughtered it, created a party. You've never done a thing for me. And the father says, oh, my son, how totally you've misunderstood who I am. And how totally you have misunderstood who you are. Do you not realize? I've created a party because my youngest son has returned. But everything I have is yours. You can just take it. Anytime. You can have a party whenever you'd like. I have given you everything. Everything is yours. But everything has been yours from the moment you were born. You can party at any time. All my riches are yours. And you say, ah, yes, but the death hasn't happened. That's the father's death. That lets you inherit everything. Do you not realize how lavish I am? My son, it's all yours. Now, I want to suggest that perhaps for some of us, as we have kept going through tough years, through tough times, in the world around us, but in church as well, that we have become so scarred and weary in doing good, in seeking to serve the Lord, to keep going, to cry out to God, to keep our head above the water, to ask Him to help us as men have ridden over our backs, struggle to keep going with the loads that are on us, the weight that is just placed upon us, though we have lost sight of our inheritance. And that we've tended to think that the end, the very end of the story, there might be the place of release and abundance. God says, my child, how you've misunderstood me. How you've misunderstood who you are. Do you not realize this moment today, everything I have is for you? Even in the midst of the pain, of the struggle, of your woundedness, everything is for you. Come and party with me. In the middle of the fire, come and party with me. In the middle of the river, when you think you're going to be finally swept away, come and party with me. When you think I'm doing everything I can to somehow sustain what is here while I cry out for what I long for and don't see, God says, but come and party with me. There is a wealth of joy now. There is healing for the wounds of our hearts now. There is a Savior who lifts the weight and the pain now. Today is the day. In our rhythm of prayer, in our morning worship, we always sing, if very close to the beginning. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we make the point, we're not waiting and longing for a better day, a sort of extraordinary fantasy day in the future when things will be better. It's today. Today is the day of his favor. Today is the day that he speaks his word. Today is the day of the good news of the kingdom. Today is not just a happening, but a day planned, made by God, full of purpose, of equipping, of resource. Everything we need for life today, given our personal situations available, this is the day. And this is the day to rejoice. And the words of the song, I will rejoice. Not, oh, therefore I really feel like worshipping and praising. No, I will rejoice. Why? Because this is the day. I may encounter him today because he is available to me. This is the day. This is the promise of God. He lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you. That he may show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. He will not allow you to be overwhelmed. Whatever you may have been through, whatever you may be going through, he will not allow you to be overwhelmed. He will be with you. He has set a limit, but he can heal you. He can restore you. He can make you new again. He can refresh your dreams and visions, but the place of abundance is available. And I want to invite you to step into that place of abundance. Would you like to stand with me for a minute? I want to speak blessings over you in the name of Jesus. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Just as he blesses you. I want to bless you for hanging in the tough times. But I also want to bless you to know that in those toughest times, he was never, ever going to let you go. I want to bless you in the name of Jesus to know in your deepest being that he has kept you and he will keep you. And nothing and no one has the power to snatch you out of his hand. You are his forever. He is committed to you. I want to bless you to know that every cry that you have uttered to the Father has been heard by him. That he is not deaf to you, that he has not abandoned you, that he cares desperately about your cries, that he has set a limit within your life, a boundary. He will preserve you. You will not be overwhelmed because the Father has committed himself to you and will not allow you to be overwhelmed. I want to bless you to be sure and clear that he not only sees but feels the pain and the wounds that you have endured. And that the marks of the stripes on the back of Jesus signify him carrying the depth of pain that you have endured, so that your heart can be healed. And your mind freed, that you may be able to love and love and love and bless those who speak against you. I want to bless you to know that everything that the Father has been given to Jesus, and that when he gave everything to Jesus, he gave it to you as well as co-heirs with Jesus. So that Jesus did the fight. Jesus is victorious and simply freely gives you his spoils. I want to bless you to know that the Father longs to rejoice with you, to dance with you, to enter into a party with you in your heart, because he loves you. Will he who gave Jesus for you, his only Son, withhold any good thing from you? No. Everything is for you. Everything is available for you. I bless you, not only that you may continue to stand, but that you may walk in freedom of heart and freedom of mind, filled with the blessings of God in the midst of reality of 21st century Western Europe. That you may be a person who is a sign as you stand rooted in Jesus, rooted in the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, wounds and all, but with heads held high, because he is with you, not in abandoning you, but rising up to be with you. What I'd like you to do is to turn to those on either side of you, if there is somebody on both sides. What I'd like you just to do is to just bless each other by saying, "The Lord has heard your cry." Now, there's a temptation when we do this sort of thing that you respond, "And yours as well." No. We need to hear the words. "The Lord has heard your cry." So would you like to say it to the person on either side of you? If you want to mingle it a little bit and share that good news with one another, please do for a moment. Just for a moment. Are we okay?
I can change the timing.
Okay. Well, only for a minute. I just don't know quite where we are. Okay. Let's pray. Father, I find the words of Wesley's song going through my Wesley's hymn going through my mind. My God, I know, I feel thee mine. Father, you know that it's one thing for us to hear truth and to believe truth, and it's rather different when we know it, we feel it. Father, we know the truth that Jesus took our griefs and our sorrows as well as our sins when he died on the cross. We know that he has carried our griefs, our pains, our sorrows. But Father, you know that we also still carry some of the pain, some of the grief, some of the sorrow. So we just ask now that the Holy Spirit may move amongst us and begin to lift that pain and the depth of the pain and the grief and the sorrow and the ache, the heartache of disappointment, of not seeing what we longed for. Holy Spirit, would you begin, please, now just to move amongst us and to minister to that, and to begin to set us free, Holy Spirit. We ask you to come in Jesus' name. And as you do that, will you please begin to open our eyes to see the riches, not simply to see the flames and the water and the chariots, everything else that might overwhelm us, but would you open our eyes that we may again see the riches of heaven, the riches of your kingdom open for us. In space of the heaviness and the ache, would you give a garment of praise? Would you please renew us in our deepest being? And would you set us free to truly worship, to truly rejoice, not just for 20 minutes here, but in life, that we may again become the vibrant people, the most alive people in the universe, because Jesus is indeed giving us living water, vibrant life, full measure, pressed down, overflowing. Set us free again, Father. Heal our hearts, heal our memories, heal our relationships. Fresh anointing. Can I ask Daphne just to come and join me? And then there are one or two others who are coming to join as well. We just want to invite you, if you'd like us just to stand with you and pray for you for a moment, for strengthening where you are, for healing of hearts, but for anointing for the future, for the ability again to stand in the riches of the kingdom, we just invite you to come forward now. And perhaps, thank you, would you like just to come forward?